When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are heading into July. That means that it's redraft season is on its way, which means it's time to talk about some sleepers. We're going to talk about some rookies. We're going to talk about some running backs, some wide receivers, where you should be looking, who you should be looking to take this year. We're going to get all that and more right now. Welcome back in. Like I said, let's just jump right into it and let's get right into the goods. So, first things first, let's talk about some of the rookies we're going to have this year, because this year's running back class really, and even the wide receivers, aren't really gaining the type of buzz that we typically see from, you know, our previous classes, right? Because right now, I mean, you're really just looking at Breece Hall as kind of being the marquee name, at least in terms of the running back group. And where Kenneth Walker is kind of stagnated a little bit, one being the offense that he's in Seattle. Other, you know, Rashad Penny is still there, so it's not a great situation. Maybe this is like a Melvin Gordon, you know, Javonte Williams type situation. But past that, like, the running backs just aren't gaining a lot of hype. And I'm sure some of that will change with preseason, with some possible injuries that happen over the preseason. And then training camp hype and all that stuff comes on. But I at least wanted to talk about some guys right out the gate that you should be definitely paying attention to, some more obvious than others. Let's talk about Isaiah Spiller, got drafted by the Chargers. Listen, he probably steps right in and has pretty much an immediate role. I don't think it's going to be a big role. Obviously, Austin Eckler is still there. It's still his backfield. But they've been kind of searching for this kind of, pairing this number two running back for the last couple of years. Even before Brandon Staley got there, you know, it's kind of something they've been looking for with guys they've taken like Joshua Kelly and Larry Roundtree. And now, you know, they take a shot on Isaiah Spiller, who's kind of the perfect complement for Austin Eckler, kind of be that short yardage goal line type back, does have pass catching upside as well. So if anything were to happen to Austin Eckler, and let's be honest, Austin Eckler hasn't necessarily been the role model of health either. So who's also getting up there in age. So Isaiah Spiller is kind of an interesting name. And as long as his ADP doesn't get too crazy, because I do think he is somebody that his ADP is going to continue to rise. Somebody that maybe we see go in the seventh or eighth round could get a little out of hand. But Isaiah Spiller is definitely a name that I would have on my radar and somebody that just has standalone value by himself. And then, you know, a couple other guys, Rashad White, definitely somebody you should be keeping an eye on. You know, Arizona State running back, drafts a little bit higher than I think people expected. There was a lot of buzz that he was going to be falling in draft. Maybe a guy was going fifth or sixth round. Obviously, he went higher than that. The Buccaneers took him. Well, obviously, this is Leonard Fournette's backfield, and it is a little bit muddled. Giovanni Bernard is still there. Keyshawn Vaughn. But Rashad White, you know, eerily has a lot of comps to David Johnson. And we know Bruce Arians took David Johnson, you know, back when he was in Arizona. But Rashad White, tremendous pass-catching running back, more than big enough to be a three-down back. And if anything were to happen to Fournette, Rashad White would just absolutely skyrocket. So, he's somebody to definitely keep an eye on. James Cook is going to be a hot name, you know, going with the Bills. And, you know, a lot of people are already, you know, Devin Singletary, which is why he's going in the seventh round. But I just don't know if James Cook really has the potential to be a true three-down workhorse. And so I think he has PPR appeal, but I don't know. But I would probably stay away if I was in standard formats of somebody like James Cook, just because I just don't know what to really make of him, what his role is going to be, and does his ADP get too high to a point where it's just not really worth taking him. And then I think the other one is Tyler Algier and Damian Pierce. Both of those guys are in situations in bad offenses, Atlanta, Houston, for Damian Pierce. But there's definitely path touches for these guys, right? Tyler Algier, you know, it's easy to talk about him. You know, really in Atlanta, there's really not a whole lot there. Yes, Cordell Patterson will get touches out of the backfield. But, you know, much like Mike Davis last year, there's going to be a role here for a guy to get 10 to 12 carries a game, maybe a couple targets as well. And they just don't have anything else. Damian Williams was brought in there. And, you know, Damian Williams is an older running back. You know, his best years are behind him. So it's not crazy to think fifth round running back Tyler Algier, who is a very impressive running back. He was top 10 in most and a lot of metrics coming out during the draft. Is somebody that I was really liking, you know, and so I think this is actually a really sneaky landing spot. It's just not being valued where he should be right now. And so I do like Tyler Allgeier. Damian Pierce is kind of in the same boat, a little bit different. They did sign Marlon Mack there. You know, he's coming off that blown Achilles, year two of that. So there's been talk that he is going to probably lead the backfield early on, but Damian Pierce could be a guy that sneaks his way in. Then you have Tyrion Davis Price, and I really don't know what to make of him. Third round pick from the 49ers. And listen, this backfield I still think is Elijah Mitchell's, but he is a name to keep in mind. But you know, we've seen this before. You know, they drafted Trey Sermon last year, but everybody thought it was going to be Trey Sermon. It wasn't. It was Elijah Mitchell. So could Elijah Mitchell get Wally pipped and, you know, Tyrion Davis Price takes over? It's possible, but you know, he's just somebody that I just don't have a lot of interest in right now. We'll have to wait and see kind of how everything shakes out here. And then I think some dark horse names, some guys at least you should just keep in the back of your mind, guys like Zamir White, Brian Robinson, Keontae Ingram, and Pierre Strong. All of them are very loaded backfields. None of them are going to have a real path to, you know, touches right out the gate. It's going to take injuries to happen. You don't need me to tell you about Tony Pollard, who has standalone value, who's absolutely the best handcuff running back, who also has standalone value, something that you can plug in going in the eighth round. Not really a sleeper, but just figured I'd mention Alexander Mattison, Daryl Henderson, all also the same. Very much, you know, really strong handcuff running backs who have the possibility of really taking over their backfield if something happens at the starter. So let's just dive a little bit deeper in a couple other guys that I want to hit on here at the running back position. You have Kenneth Gainwell going RB 49, 145th overall. This is a very interesting name in PPR formats. 28% snap share last year. We had 50 targets, which is 24th among all running backs, 291 rushing yards, 253 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns last year. But he had 11.3% target share, which was 16th most among all running backs, a 1.73 yards per route run, which was 6th, and a really good 3.37 yards created per touch. So he was impressive when in opportunities that he was given. He is likely going to be splitting touches with Miles Sanders. We know Miles Sanders is being undervalued, but Kenneth Gainwell is also a name. If you don't like taking Miles Sanders, I wouldn't mind waiting on Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, Miles Sanders is also a running back that has dealt with injuries every single year, and it's possible that Kenneth Gainwell could get a larger workload this year. You know, and somebody that's going 145th overall, he's kind of free right now. So I like taking shots on Kenneth Gainwell, especially in PPR formats. Khalil Herbert, RB 59, 184 overall. Listen, 3 starts last year, had over 100 total yards in 2 of those 3 games, 19.2, 18.3 fantasy points in 2 of those 3 games with 10 targets. So there's a lot to like here. He's the backup to David Montgomery. Again, another running back that's not really going to have standalone value. He's not like a tremendous pass catcher or anything like that. Just somebody, you know, you could draft as a handcuff, but it's going to take an injury for him to really have a true role. So, again, another running back, keep the back of mind. But then another one, Deontay Foreman, I think is a very interesting name. You know, signed with Carolina, played with Tennessee last year, but RB 65 right now, 213th overall. And, you know, we're seeing Chuba Hubbard going ahead of him, and I think that's a mistake. Chuba Hubbard was terrible last year, like certifiably terrible last year. Yes, he got the opportunities, but towards the end of the year, they went into a full-on committee last year because Chuba Hubbard just wasn't getting it done. But last year, Deontay Foreman handled 46.9% of the opportunities in the backfield, 566 rushing yards, 123 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. Good for 10.4 fantasy points per game. He also had 2.17 yards created per touch and 4.1 true yards per carry. But I think if something were to happen to Christian McCaffrey, I think it would be Deontay Foreman that took over this backfield as the running back. Like, he showed flashes last year of kind of the guy pre-Achilles injury of you know, what people really liked about him. He was a very much a one-year, one-hit wonder at Texas. But Deontay Foreman, I think, is a very interesting name. You know, if something were to happen to Christian McCaffrey, I think everybody would run out to pick up Chuba Hubbard. And I actually think it's Deontay Foreman is the guy that I would want. I think he is the better running back, the better pure running back, better pure runner out of the backfield. And so Deontay Foreman is a name I would definitely be storing away in my memory bank, you know, as the season goes on. And, you know, if anything were to happen to Christian McCaffrey, fingers crossed that it doesn't, but those would be the guys that I would be kind of looking at, some dark horse names. So let's jump over to wide receiver really quickly. You know, I could go, you know, into all the rookie wide receivers, but I want to focus on a few names here that are really standing out to me. Number one is Jacoby Myers. I don't get it. Wide receiver 54, 138th overall. I don't get it. 11 fantasy points per game last year and was wide receiver 29 and is going as wide receiver 54. This gap just does not make any sense. I get it. He's not a sexy name, but he's still 126 targets last year, 24.4% target share in that offense. 48.7% of the slot snaps. And there's really nobody that's going to take his job. Yes, they took Tyquan Thornton this year, but he is much more of a burner. I think much more of a project raw type player. He's not something that's going to take Jacoby Myers' job. I think Jacoby Myers is solidified and very well could be the number one target this year for Mac Jones. And so last year, 83 receptions, 867 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns for him last year. A 29.3% market share of the air yards, which is 32nd among all wide receivers, and 17 deep targets last year. And so I just don't get the disconnect with Jacoby Myers. I get he's not a sexy name, but I think he can be another solid wide receiver 3 this year. And let's keep it moving here. Let's talk about Kadarius Toney. I think he's a very interesting wide receiver. Wide receiver 45, 113th overall, had a 16% target share last year, 39 receptions for 420 receiving yards, no touchdown. Obviously, he had that big breakout game against the Cowboys last year, but he was 17th in yards per out run, 8th in yards after the catch per reception. And, you know, there's some other things to talk about here, like Sterling Shepard is probably going to miss the start of the season here for the Giants. And he very well could be the best wide receiver they have. And, yes, they have Kenny Galladay here. They drafted Wandale Robinson. But I think Kadarius Toney is being a little bit undervalued as a guy who could end up being a wide receiver 3. Very explosive. You know, he's now in a much more stable situation here with Brian Daboll taking over as the head coach. Gone is Joe Judge. Thank God. And so I just think they can get creative with Kadarius Toney, kind of use him all over the field, you know, hit him on some of those bubble screens and stuff like that. But I think he could also be somebody that utilizes a deep threat, has tremendous speed. And he's just somebody that I think that I would like taking shots on if you can get him, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th round, somewhere right in there. And I just think he's somebody that we could end up looking back upon and people are going to realize that they missed out on somebody like Kadarius Toney. So I really like Kadarius Toney where he's going. Like I said, all the other metrics line up, things we look for, yards per out run, which was excellent, yards after the catch per reception. So he was very efficient on a per-touch basis as well. So draft Kadarius Toney, whatever you can. Let's keep it moving here. Listen, I could talk about some guys. I know people are going to be like, well, where's Russell Gage and where's Alan Lazard? Those names are just too obvious for me. I mean, those definitely aren't sleepers at all right now. I mean, Russell Gage is wide receiver 47 is ridiculous. That's a joke. He should be going inside the top 36 wide receivers. He should, because Chris Godwin is likely going to miss the start of season. They don't know when he's going to be ready to even start running or practice yet. None of those things that he has been cleared yet. There's no timetable yet for his return. This is a guy that, I mean, Chris Godwin, who had the surgery in January. And so for his ACL tear, like people thinking that Chris Godwin's going to be ready by week 1 are ridiculous. I just don't see it. I think it's much more likely he starts the year on the pup. So Russell Gage could be the number 2 wide receiver here in this offense, and I'm all about that. And especially, I mean, listen, the Bucs aren't going to throw the ball 700 times like they did last year, but this is still going to be a very pass-heavy offense. And so Russell Gage is just an absolute slam dunk at his ADP. And then Alan Lazard is the other name, wide receiver 50. This is going to be a really hot topic over the offseason with Alan Lazard. Christian Watson obviously was drafted there, but I just think he has the most familiarity with the offense. I think this is going to take time for Christian Watson. This is somebody that played at the FBS level and didn't really dominate the FBS level. Yes, he's an athletic freak, but Alan Lazard, I think, has the inside track being the wide receiver 1, and that's something we should be wanting in Aaron Rodgers, you know, wide receiver 1. I'm not saying he's going to put up Davante Adams type numbers because he's not, but I think he can be, at the very least, I think he can be a very solid wide receiver 3, but I think he has wide receiver 2 upside here. And so wide receiver 50, I'll be taking that all day. Last but not least, let's hit on a few more guys, and then we'll get out of here. Josh Palmer, again, wide receiver 3 here for the Chargers. This is an offense that I want to target. They have some aging wide receiver here with Keenan Allen, you know, who has, you know, dealt with injuries in his career, and so is Mike Williams, for that matter. So if anything were to happen to either one of those, I mean, his value absolutely skyrockets. Wide receiver 73 right now, and we kind of saw him really finish strong last year, double-digit fantasy points in 3 of his last 5 games. So I like Josh Palmer, wide receiver 73, in what could be one of the best, if not the best offense in the league this year, which doesn't taste good coming out of my mouth as a Chiefs fan, but it is what it is. Just love Justin Herbert, love this offense. And even I think he can have some standalone value even as the number 3 wide receiver here for the Chargers. So draft Josh Palmer wherever you can, because he is criminally undervalued like some of these other wide receivers. Jalen Tolbert's next up, wide receiver 76. He very well could be the wide receiver 2 here for the Cowboys in an offense that lost Amari Cooper. Cedric Wilson is gone. And then you have Michael Gallup, who I just don't know either when he's going to be ready. It's possible he does not come back until October or November. They signed him to a pretty sizable contract, but again, didn't have ACL surgery until January or February. And so again, another guy that's very, very behind the eight ball here in terms of recovery. And we know this is an injury that takes, you know, close to a year to truly, truly recover from, even, you know, even for a wide receiver. And so Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver 76, you know, third round pick this year out of South Alabama. Now, he's a guy, you know, that played FBS much like Christian Watson, but he actually dominated the competition at South Alabama. And so I like Jalen Tolbert. I think he should have been drafted higher than where he went. Athletic wide receiver. And I think he makes a lot of sense as being paired next to CeeDee Lamb. I still think it's likely he would be the number three target behind somebody like CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz. But Jalen Tolbert in a prolific passing offense is somebody that I want a lot of. And I think a lot of people are going to be taking the other rookie wide receivers, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, you know, obviously Chris Olave, who I love. You know, Drake London, like all these guys, Christian Watson likely even goes ahead of Jalen Tolbert. And I think Jalen Tolbert could end up carving out a pretty good role this year and being somebody that people look back upon and kick themselves for not taking. So take Jalen Tolbert, especially at wide receiver 76. Last but not least, I want to talk about Tim Patrick because he kind of seems like to be the forgotten guy here in this Denver backfield. There's been a really good debate this offseason on what side you're on, Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy. But Tim Patrick seems to be the guy that people just kind of forget about. Going off the board, a wide receiver 64. This is a guy that had 8 double-digit fantasy point weeks last year in 2021. 85 targets, 17.3% target share in this offense last year. He played 82% of the snaps, 53 receptions, 734 yards, and 5 touchdowns, and was excellent at getting separation. A 1.82 target separation, which was 17th among all wide receivers last year, and a 9.8 fantasy points per game. And this is with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. Like, now we get Russell Wilson, and Tim Patrick has been proven to be a reliable wide receiver. He is somebody that they actually got a sizable contract extension from the Broncos. And so, you know, he's going to benefit also from being in this Russell Wilson-led offense. And, you know, wide receiver 64, I don't mind taking shots on a guy like this. Those are kind of the names that I'm kind of looking at right now and just kind of want to get to. There's some other names I could have mentioned. Paris Campbell comes to mind. You know, is he ever going to break out? All the reviews are coming out this offseason that he looks fantastic, 100% healthy. But I've been down this road before with Paris Campbell. If he's sitting there, would I take a shot up? Yes. Would I rather have him than Alec Pierce? Absolutely. But with that being said, you know, like I said, we're going to get into a lot more of these names. I know people are going to be wondering, where's Sky Moore? Why didn't I talk about him? Or Marquez Valdes-Scantling from the Chiefs, or even Mecole Hardman. You know, we're going to have all this offseason talk about these names. I just kind of want to get into some of the guys that are really standing out to me right now in terms of ADP. So anyways, I appreciate you guys checking it out. Be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Let me know who are some of your favorite sleepers for the 2022 season, and I will catch you on the next one. Bye.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening? Damn. Yeah.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.